spoken before, straight after singing If I Was a Butterfly. And it's always the first time. Just before I started speaking, somebody sidled up to me and said, there's a quote in the Daily Mirror this morning. Could you quote that in your address as well? First time I've ever quoted from the Daily Mirror as well, I think. I won't be doing either of those things this morning. But we're still in Genesis. We're still in the early chapters of Genesis. That's because Genesis has got so much foundational teaching for us as we're looking at that big picture, as Pastor Chris said, his story. And this morning we're looking at the story of Abraham. If you want to put our first slide up there for us, Keith, just to remind us of our theme for this morning. Are we going up there somewhere? I'll carry on anyway. You can put that up for us. Just the very first one, the his story slide. Story this morning is about a man who starts out and he's called Abraham, A-B-R-A-M. He's not called Abraham yet. And as his story unfolds, you will see that it's so strange, it's so unbelievable, it's so out there that it's just got to be true. It's one of those stories that if we put it today onto EastEnders or something like that, the TV authorities would be deluged with complaints because it would just be far too unrealistic. So hang in there this morning. This is a bit of an adventure ride. Abraham, he starts out as a moon god worshipper. Now hear that again. He's one of the most significant men in the history of our faith, in the history of the world, and he starts out worshipping moon gods in an obscure little place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now that gives me some encouragement this morning that from whatever mistaken, humble beginnings that we come from, God sees potential in us. Okay, so that's just a great, great start. He's two wives and a child by a servant of his wife by the time he's 86. But his story really has got going at the age of 75. When he moves to Canaan, God changes his name. God makes some special agreements with him called covenants. If you were here last week, you heard a little bit about covenant. And he repeats them again when Abraham's 99. Okay? He travels all over the place, and in one incident, he rescues his nephew Lot, who's been abducted by a bunch of kings. In another incident, he passes his wife Sarah off as a sister in order to save his own life. So he's far from perfect. He makes some mistakes as well. One of the covenant symbols that God gave him was male circumcision. And Abraham was promised a family, a law, and a nation. And we'll look at some of those things this morning. We could be preaching all year about Abraham, so this is going to be a bit of a quick tour around his life, really. Eventually, a son, Isaac, was born. Abraham was 100. His wife, Sarah, who'd previously been barren, was 90. Now think about that. Abraham's 100. Sarah's 90. They've got a little baby. I reckon they can't have had one tooth between the three of them. A while later, perhaps one of the most famous stories we know, a while later, God challenges Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Sarah dies eventually at the age of 127. Abraham marries again at the age of 137. What is he doing? He eventually dies, not at the age of 138, as some of you might think, but at the age of 175. Put the next slide up for us, Keith. Here's a little summary for us. Abraham, I've called this story Covenants, Kids and Countries, because that's what his life was about, really. God chose one man to reach a nation and chose one nation to reach many nations. And by the time we begin to read in the New Testament, we see that Abraham is one of the giants, one of the heroes of the faith. In James 2, it says this, it so happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. He was even called the friend of God. Wow. Wouldn't you like that to be your epitaph? She was a friend of God. He was a friend of God. Well, listen up to the story of Abraham this morning and discover a bit more. Now, that great passage in Hebrews 11 says this, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Sounds like many of the journeys I take. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. And just like Noah, you heard about Noah last week, Abraham marks a new beginning, as well as a return to God's original plan for mankind, to bless all peoples on earth. And in the New Testament, as I said, he's mentioned so often as a friend of God, as somebody who lived by faith. And we're going to discover that this morning. So let's look at the call of Abraham. If you put the next slide up for us, I'm going to read from Genesis 12, the first three verses. If you've got a Bible, it'd be good to turn to it. If you haven't, don't worry, because it's up there on the screen. Then the Lord told Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So at about the age when many of us are thinking that our active life is over, Abraham's great adventure really begins. And Abraham is marked, if you like, as a new Adam, the forefather of the second Adam, that's Jesus. And suddenly the way of life and blessing shifts. See, originally in the early part of Genesis, when we heard this story of creation, that the way of life and blessing from God was originally the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it shifted to the ark and all those who came from the ark. And now it's through Abraham and his seed. And so Abraham marks a very important new beginning, but it's also a return to what God has always planned. So that's Abraham's call. And since then, God has always given a special blessing on people who are able to step out in faith, particularly to go to other countries in obedience, trusting him. So let's see what Abraham's response to his call was. The next few verses, well, let's read just those two, 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I'm going to give you this land to your offspring." And Abraham built an altar there to commemorate the Lord's visit. After that, Abraham traveled southward and set up camp in the hill country between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Three things consistently mark out the life of Abraham. And they're three, if you like, pillars to hang this morning's challenge for you on. And those are that he's a man of faith. He believes God. And he trusts God. And so he sets out to where he doesn't even know he's going. But he does so in faith. He's also an obedient man. Many of us might have that faith inside, but taking that step is something else, that step of obedience. Last weekend, Pastor Chris and I and some of the guys here were away down on the Gower Peninsula for the Wild at Heart Men's Weekend. And on the Saturday afternoon, I guess Pastor Chris might have mentioned this last Sunday morning, we were out climbing and abseiling. And for many of us, there was a real difference when you're standing backwards like this on the top of a cliff with a rope in your hand, knowing that that rope's going to hold you, to then take that first step of obedience backwards, trusting the rope. There, it might only be a couple of inches, but there's a world of difference. And Abraham was somebody, Abraham, and not even change his name, Abraham here was somebody who was able to put his faith into obedience. And he marked those occasions by worshipping. He made a habit of every significant place he went to, where God spoke to him and met with him, he would build an altar and worship. Isn't that an awesome thing to do? Just in those significant occasions. Some of those were joyous occasions. As we'll discover later, some of those were very difficult and challenging and scary occasions. Yet he still worshipped God. And all the way through this story, we'll discover that actually putting our faith and being obedient in God isn't difficult. actually our difficulties and challenges arise when we don't put our faith in God and when we aren't obedient. It doesn't promise that we have an easy life, but our life is almost always much more complicated and difficult for us if we choose the path of disobedience rather than the path of obedience. Who can put their hand up and say an amen to that this morning? I certainly can. So let's move on in the story. Remember, this was at the age of 75, and off he goes. The Lord promises Abraham a son. That's our next passage. Here we go. Let's read that. This is in Genesis 15. O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since I don't have a son, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no children, so one of my servants will have to be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I'm giving you. Then the Lord brought Abram outside beneath the night sky and told him, Look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count. Listen to this. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. See, the call of Abraham is one of Scripture's theological turning points, if you like. Before this, God dealt with the human race as a whole. Afterwards, it was through the family of Abraham, from Abraham's son all the way down to the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus himself. All done in God's timing. And once or twice in the story of Abraham, when God speaks to Abraham and calls him and commissions him and makes agreements with him, Abraham laughs. Doesn't laugh at God. Doesn't laugh disbelievingly. He doesn't really even laugh at the circumstances. It's more of a sort of amazement and a surprise that God should choose him and invest in him the future of his people. So the Lord promises Abraham a son. And it takes many years. It's all in God's timing. And then we come to this section where covenant is introduced and reinforced again. The Lord makes a covenant with Abraham. Covenant, it's the heart of God's love relationship with his people. It's not just an agreement. It's not just a shake of a hand. It's not just a promise. It's much more than that. It's unconditional, binding throughout time. It's if you like, a sovereign, a royal king, offering a binding, lasting agreement with his subjects and being completely trustworthy and faithful in that. And the covenants that God makes with Abraham are significant. Here's one here. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Termites, the Marmites, the Cellulites, any other mites you can think of. And if God first promises that he will lead Abraham into a land, Canaan, he will establish a nation, Israel. And it's as if covenant is God saying, look, I'm announcing my purpose. This is what I am going to do. This is binding. No man or woman can stop it. Once I have spoken covenant, nobody can thwart what my plans are. And that's what Abraham discovers, that first covenant. And then a little bit later, that covenant is reinforced when Abraham becomes Abraham. He's 99 now, and It's not really a second covenant. It's like a reinforcement of the same words that God has already spoken to him. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to make you into a mighty nation. At this, Abraham fell face down in the dust. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of not just one nation, but a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham. Now you will be known as Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. That's what the name Abraham means, father of many, or exalted father. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Kings will be among them. Your part of the agreement, God told Abraham, is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. Well, the first time that God mentioned that covenant, he stressed land. This one stresses an abundance of descendants. And Abraham worships again in that significant time. Later in the passage, it's one of these times when he does laugh. And he must be thinking to himself, how can I have a son at the age of 99? My wife Sarah is barren, she's 90. How can this happen? I don't know. I can't put a human explanation to it. But I'm going to put my faith and obedience in God. And that's good enough for me. I guess that's what's going through his mind when he laughs. And the sign of the covenant there, God says, will be the circumcision. And that stayed as the sign of the covenant between God and his people until the time of Jesus. And the new covenant. So let's fast forward a little bit to that famous story that we know from the bigger story of Abraham, where his faith and obedience are tested. Unless you read this, we can't completely understand what God's plan and purpose with this was. But imagine that you're Abraham. You haven't got the benefit of hindsight like we have. He steps out in faith, not knowing what the end of this little episode is going to be. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will point out to you. See, worship and faith and obedience again. A little bit later, three verses later, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the young man. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. You see, you would think if you were called to give your... Put this into context. Isaac was the biggest thing in Abraham's life. Not physically size-wise, obviously, but was the biggest thing that had ever happened to him. He had yearned to have a son. He'd given up hope on that. And suddenly God says to him in his old age, that's going to happen. And it has, and the boy is now growing up. And suddenly Abraham sees that his descendants are safe. The future of his family and his offspring are safe. And not only that, they're tied into God's plan for the whole world. But then God says, hold on a minute, I want you to take that dear son of yours and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, we don't hear Abraham disagreeing. We don't hear him shouting. We don't hear him putting up lots of reasons why he shouldn't do that. We don't even hear him bargaining with God. All those things that perhaps were going through his mind would certainly have probably gone through our minds in a situation like that. Just think, at the moment, for 15 seconds or so, what's your biggest thing? What's the biggest thing in your life? What is it? Is it a family member? Is it your health? Is it your job? Whatever it is, the biggest, most important thing in your life. How would you react if God was to ask you to sacrifice that biggest thing in your life to show your love and devotion to him? It's a frightening thought, isn't it? And that's where Abraham was. And what does he do? Does he argue? Does he disagree? Does he collapse into a heap and panic? No, he worships. And you know, if there was not another story of worship in the Bible, I think that one would give us a fair idea about what worship's supposed to be, wouldn't it? In terms of sacrifice and giving over to God and showing that that nothing in our lives is more important than Him. So Abraham is willing to sacrifice the boy Isaac. But before it comes to the crunch, God responds to faith and obedience. And perhaps that's a message to somebody this morning. Let me say that again. God responds to faith and obedience. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me... Oh, it's gone. I'll read it on here. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. See, all the way through, and this, as I was reading this just struck me so clearly and spoke into my life in the last couple of weeks. All the way through his part of God's story, Abraham realizes that God is bigger than his problems or circumstances. That wasn't a revelation for me, because I knew that already, I guess, but it was a reminder for me this last week or so about that. That whatever the situation that we find ourselves in, the difficult circumstances, the times of trial and hardship, God is bigger than our challenges, than our circumstances, than our problems. And time again, Abraham was learning that lesson. It must have made him much more confident to step out in faith each time, because he looked back and saw that God had a track record of being faithful, of rewarding obedience, of being trustworthy and reliable for those who have faith in him. I guess he must have also realized, and I hope we're beginning to grasp this as we look at his story these weeks, Abraham must have realized that he was born to be part of God's big story. That each of us, however small and insignificant we may be, wherever we're from, whatever our background, God is calling us into a covenant relationship with him so that we can be part of his big story. Again, on the Wild at Heart weekend last week, we were discovering something about what it is to step out into the adventure that God has for us, and recognizing that if we just stay within our own little story and our own circumstances, we will miss the destiny for which we were born, which was to be part of God's plan and his story. Now, some of us might not do that as spectacularly or as publicly as Abraham. But hear this, each of you is called into God's plans and God's purposes just as surely as Abraham was. You must grasp that before you walk out of here this morning. This is nobody excluded. This is not one of these messages where you think, this is obviously for the person to my left and the person to my right, but not to me, because I'm sure I would have anything to contribute. Don't believe that for a moment. But God is calling you into his purposes for this world just as surely as he called Abraham. And at the bottom there, they will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because, not all because the lady loves milk tray, but all because you have obeyed me. All because you have obeyed me. It's that we can't escape from faith, obedience, and worship wherever we look in the story of Abraham. It's always there. So in the last few minutes, let's just sum up some lessons that I think we can apply to ourselves. Abraham lived a life of faith, even though he wasn't perfect. He lived a life of faith. He had faith enough not just to believe academically, but to take that step of obedience, which is so important for all of us. He's showing the faithfulness of God's promises, however long it takes. Who's waiting for the fulfillment of a promise of God in their life? Okay, a number of you. Okay, well, take faith from Abraham this morning. I hope you don't have to wait until you're 100, or if it's for a marriage, to 137. But delight in the fact that God is faithful, but he's faithful in his timing. Just learn to live in that promise. Time and again in the New Testament, we're reminded, and Abraham is an example, that we're justified by faith and not by self-righteously keeping the law. It's by faith in God. Our endeavors, however well-meaning, however good they are, will not do the trick. It's faith in God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us that covenant relationship with God. That Jesus Christ, amen, is the final and complete fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham. And the Bible reminds us time and again that we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. For those of you that grew up in Sunday school, you might remember that song, Father Abraham Had Many Sons. I'm not going to sing it for you, because it takes about half an hour, because you have to start moving your arms and your legs and nodding your head and everything. But you know that song. We're all spiritual descendants of Abraham. And so God has planted in us the same seeds of faith and obedience and worship that he's planted into the life of Abraham. Be encouraged by that this morning. Let's use the final passage from the New Testament just as an opportunity to respond and to reflect. This is our heritage, if you like. In Galatians, we read this. As I read this, I'm perhaps going to ask Pastor Chris to come back and close in prayer. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, listen to this, the real children of Abraham then are all those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles too on the basis of their faith. God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And so it is. All who put their faith in Christ, this is awesome, isn't it? All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Wow. Amen. Abraham. Kids, covenants, countries. But a man of faith, a man of obedience, a man of worship.
Praise God. Let's stand together. Come on, let's stand.